Lectionary lunch. We are recording. Welcome, everybody. We are on Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. A great text for preaching and also for our theology. This is the second of the servant songs, so-called servant songs in Isaiah. The first one, remember, Isaiah 42. The second one, Isaiah 49. And then there's another one in 50, and of course, 52 and 53. And as you read through those, from our perspective, we get a sense of them becoming more dramatic, more explicit. There's kind of a climactic feeling that you get as you move from servant song to servant song. So here, notice the note of suffering kind of appears for the first time in Isaiah 49, as you will see. And that continues to increase until you get to, obviously, Isaiah 52, 53. Here, too, you have the servant speaking for the first time as well, as you move from 42 to 49. There's a lot of interesting things to talk about in this text. So let's start with verse 1, chapter 49. It follows, as we're moving through here, it right at the end of 48, God starts reminding the people of what He has done for them in the past. And there's a reminder of the Exodus and His preservation for them in the wilderness. And now He goes to this servant song here in verse 1. Shimu iyim elai v'hakshivu le'umi me'rachok Yahweh mebeten kera'ani me'e imi hizkir shmi. Starts off with an imperative. Hear, O islands, or listen, O islands, Eli, to me. And the Iyim usually signifies the farthest parts of the known world, the Iyim, off the coast of the Mediterranean. So, listen to me, O Iyim, and Hakshivu, from the root Kashav, again another Hifil imperative, pay attention or pay heed, Le'umim, O people, Me'rachot, from afar, from far off. And so notice who He's addressing. He's not addressing His own people, but He's addressing He has a much wider scope in mind, see? Now notice what He says, Yahweh mebeten kera'ani. Yahweh from the womb called me. This simple call, perfect, third masculine singular plus a suffix. Yahweh called me from the womb, me'e, from the womb of my mother. That word mime'e again is, notice it's a min plus the ma'e means womb. And this is a construct form. Right? From the womb of my mother, hiskir shemi. He announced my name. Notice that this is a hifil from Zakar to remember. And notice here it's again a reminder of notice that this whole line is referring to His election, His choice. God has made a choice in Him. All right? Verse 2, Vayasem pi cherev chada. And He made my mouth like a sharp sword. That's, of course, the verb is from seem, a simple vav consecutive. He made my mouth like a sword, a chada, a sharp one. Notice that's just a feminine adjective because cherev is feminine. Bezel yado hech bi'ani, in the shade of His hand, He hid me. Another hifil from chava, to hide. All right, and the object is the suffix. In the shade of His hand, He hid me. Okay, va yesimeni lechetz barur. And He made me into a chetz, into an arrow. Now, barur is a polished one or a sharpened one. The root is from barar, which usually means to purify. And it's a call passive participle. Or here the usage seems more specifically in regard to an arrow. See, a sharp arrow ready to go. Okay, be'ashpato histirani, in His quiver. That ashepet, in His quiver, He has hidden me from satar, another hifil. Third masculine singular. In his quiver He has hidden me. Okay? Verse 3. Vayomer li avdi ata. And He said to me, avdi ata, you are my servant. Alright, now notice the word, next word, you are my servant, Israel. And so he first of all refers to the person he's talking to as a servant, and now notice he labels him as Israel, which may seem kind of surprising, given that we've been talking about what seems to be a one person coming from the womb of his mother, chosen from birth. And we've seen, you know, like in Jeremiah's case, for example, called from birth to be a prophet. Here you have the same kind of election language. And now in Israel, we think of a whole bunch of people. So notice there's a tension that you see in this servant song and other places in Isaiah throughout this section between a singular and an individual person and Israel as a nation too. Okay? So he said to me, my servant are you, Israel, who in you et pa'ar, who in you I will glorify myself. This is hit pa'el from pa'ar. Alright? So in good English, in you I will glorify myself. See? Verse 4, va'ani amarti lerik yagati. But I said, so notice the I is in kind of a prominent position here, the pronoun. But I said, lerik. Remember, rik means empty. With the lamed here, we would notice the force seems to be as an adverbial. So in vain, yagati. In vain, I have labored. And something like, I've tired myself out for nothing. See? Letohu vehevel. Again, two words that you're familiar with, and notice probably also functioning as adverbs here. For nothing and vanity again. Hevel, see? Or maybe you want to translate those as a Hendiades, one idea through two words. For absolutely nothing, kileti, I used up kochi, my strength. Kileti is a pl from kala, to be at an end, and here's a PL, to come to an end, or it takes a direct object to end. All right. So I've used up my power for absolutely nothing. Alright. Akein mishpati et Yahweh. Surely, mishpati. Notice that that's another word that we usually translate as judgment, but here you might want to translate, surely my vindication, my justification or something like that is with Yahweh. Upeulati, and my recompense or my reward is with Elohai, is with my God. So notice what the servant is saying. He seems to be saying in verse 4 that on the surface it looks like he's labored for nothing. All right, so here's the first, what I was talking about earlier, the first indication that the servant had to suffer, that his task was difficult. And so finally he seeks his reward, his justification, his vindication with Yahweh. So notice you see this faith of the servant who on the one hand sees what he seems to be the vanity of his labor, the uselessness, but on the other hand he casts the results, the pe'ulah, his reward on Yahweh. Okay? Verse 5, Vata Mar Yahweh, Yotri Mebeten Le Eved Lo. And now, but now, Yahweh says, Yahweh Yotri, the one who formed me. That's a participle, uses a substantive, Yatzar, to form. The one who formed me from the womb, Le Eved Lo, as servant to him. Okay, so, but now Yahweh says, the one who formed me from the womb as a servant to him, Lesh shovev Yaakov elav, to return Jacob to him. That is an infinitive construct from shuv. Notice it's a polel, because a hollow verb doesn't take pls. So here you have the direct object Yaakov. And notice that this functions as purpose. So he formed me from the womb as his servant in order to return Jacob to himself. Or so that I could return, I think probably the subject should be understood as a servant, so that I could bring back Jacob Elav to him. And then kind of still think purpose here. And so that Israel lo ye asaf. Notice it, let's go to the verb first. That's a nifal from asaf, to gather. So the nifal means to be gathered. If you take it as a synonym with return, then notice the footnote for the lo. There's a number of places where the lamed plus aleph, this form, doesn't mean the negative, but it's a different spelling for the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, to him. All right, and notice that that's the reading that's suggested by the Masoretes. All right, so a lot of translations go by that, and they would translate so that I might return Jacob to him, and so that Israel might be gathered to him. All right, but if you take asaf in the sense of gathered in the sense of removing, which it's used like probably five or six times, then you could maintain the low. And actually, I think I read one of the commentaries, Luther does this as well. And so that Israel might not be removed. All right, that's another way to handle it. But again, it seems simpler just to go with the parallelism from the previous line and take the lamed aleph as the preposition. Okay. Next line then. Ve'ekabed be'enei Yahweh ve'lo haya uzi. Now, I'm taking this as a result of his work. So, notice how verse 5 goes. But now Yahweh says, the one who formed me from the womb as his servant, so that I might return Jacob to him, and so that Israel might be gathered to him, with the result that I will be glorified, or I will be honored, a nifal from Kavod, with the result that I will be honored in the eyes of Yahweh, Velohai, and my God, Haya Uzi, and my God is my strength. Okay. Now notice, in verse 5, the first line, Yahweh, he's going to give you Yahweh's direct speech, but he doesn't do that yet. He doesn't. You don't get his direct speech until verse 6, and so you have kind of the repetition of the Amar in the Vayomer. Okay, so he says, and notice we understand Yahweh as the subject, so he says, Nakel mityotika lievet. Nakel is from the root kalal, to be light. Alright, to be light. And this the same form for the perfect or the participle. This is a nifal form from kalal. Okay? And he said, it is light from your being to me a servant. The mem before the heyot is a comparative min. And the heyot is, of course, an infinitive construct from haya. So you want to translate like this. And he said, it is too easy for you to be my servant. Okay, it's too easy of a thing. You're being my servant. Now you have to read the next line in relation to it. To raise up the tribes of Jacob. Lehakim is another infinitive construct. So read together, he said to me, it is too easy a thing for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. All right. U netzu re Yisrael lehashiv. Again, you have a Korei Kativ reading. The root of that first word is Natsar, famous, pretty well-known word that means to guard or to protect. And it has a yud in there, which would be another otherwise unattested adjective. So the Korei reading suggests you take it as a passive participle, namely meaning those, referring to the remnant, those who are kept, those who are preserved of Israel. So, and lehashiv, again, infinitive construct, parallel to hakim in the previous line. To return the preserved of Israel. So Yahweh said, it is too easy of a thing for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to return the preserved of Israel. Okay? U netatika leor goyim. But I will make you, here's Natan, and remember the meanings of Natan and Seem often switch back and forth, but I will make you into a light of the Goyim, a light of the Gentiles. See, so it's too easy just to be, raise up Jacob. He's going to do it to the Gentiles, Goyim. Alright? Lihyot Yeshuati, to be my salvation, Ad Ketzei Haaretz, to the end of the earth. So notice where the servant's mission lies is not just to the nation, but to the whole world. It's a kind of a startling move, and you know, the huge surprise of this text, really. Here's the servant who thinks what he's doing is worthless, and Yahweh says, you know, to restore Jacob is too easy. I'm going to do the whole earth with you. All right. Verse 7, finally, most commentaries are split on whether this really goes with the servant song or not, but a lot of people suggest it does as kind of an ending to it. Ko amar Yahweh, Goel Yisrael Kedosho. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, Kedosho, His Holy One. So notice Israel is called His Holy One now. Wow. Now here's where it gets a little complicated. Liv zo nefesh lim ta'e goy. Okay, the first word is odd. Notice Yahweh is still speaking to the servant. The Qumran has this as a passive participle from baza, which means to be despised. So if you take it like that, to the one who is despised in regards to his nefesh, his life, namely others despise him, to the despised one in respect to his life, meta'ev, take this as a pu'al from ta'av, pu'al participle. Ta'av means to abhor, to despise, another synonym. So this one would be to the abhorred one of the goy, to the one abhorred by the nation, by nation. Okay, so notice it's talking about his apparent status. All right. Now that first word you could also, and some I think some suggest that you take this as a participle rather, the one who despises his life. All right, which also makes sense, especially in relation to like Isaiah 52, to the one who regards his life as nothing. And even in the context, you can make a case for that in view of what he said about himself in verse 4. See? Alright? So, but anyway, I'll take it as a passive participle here. To the one who is despised in respect to his life, to the one who is abhorred by the nation, to the servant of Moshelim, to the servant of rulers, to the servant of those who rule. Now here's what he says. Melakim yiru vakamu. Kings will see. That's from Ra'ah. And kamu, and they will rise. And I suppose that you have to understand the object of Ra'ah as you. Kings will see you, and they will rise. Sarim, princes, again, understand the verb, will see you. Vayish tachavu, and they will bow down. This is that famous hishtafel from Chava. Okay, kings will see, and they will rise. Princes, and they will prostrate themselves. They will bow down. Leman Yahweh asher ne'eman, on account of Yahweh who is faithful. This is where you get amen, of course, and nifal participle, who is faithful. The Holy One of Israel, Vayiv Chareka, the Holy One of Israel, and He has chosen you from Bachar. Again, talking about the servant here. All right. So notice, you know, there's a lot of competing voices as to who's the speaker, who's talking. And out of all of those, from a Christian perspective, the other ones, whether it's the prophet or Israel as a nation, foreshadow or only typify the strongest voice from our perspective, who is finally Christ, in the light of whom we see this passage fulfilled in marvelous ways in His death and resurrection. And of course it's a proper epiphany text because it mentions that He's the light to the Gentiles. And that is certainly how we regard Him. And you know, you can make a lot of connections with Christ and then from here talk about our mission as to shine as lights and to be His servants. And so a good missionary emphasis can be part of this text as well. All right? All right, good.